In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, hello, hello, and welcome to all the Revolution Radio listeners out there. This is Diane, and welcome to Conversations with Eagle Flower, this fourth day of November 2020. And certainly, we do welcome all of the listeners, because we know that you come from far and wide around this world. And we have many things to share and to find our common bonds, let's just say, through all of our cultures, creeds, and nationalities around this world. We acknowledge that no race and no person is better than another. We all experience the gift of life from our mutual creator. And thank you very much for listening to Revolution Radio and supporting us here, as we are a listener-supported station. So, again, thank you for your support by listening to our various presentations. And, of course, how can I go without giving a special shout-out to all of our chatsy chatters here today? And thank you so much for stopping by and giving a listen. I see many of you in chat today. Believe it or not, today we're having about a 70-degree weather here. And less than a week ago, we were deep down in the tundra doing 10 degrees overnight. So we're going to be having some nice little warm-up weather for a few more days. And then, of course, we're going to be dropping down. So at least we got a little bit of a respite here. We have been going through such turmoil. And I noticed about 10 days ago that there was a very sudden, strident change of energies. And since I happen to be one of these people who seems to be more sensitive than many, I caught on to it that there was something really going on. And it just was such a it pushed and just kept pushing. And several days later, I felt like it was just an actual compression. It reminded me of my many years ago experience that I only was able to describe as going through the neck of a bottle, a corked champagne bottle. And so much pressure had to build up in that bottle before the cork popped. That is pretty much what I was experiencing through all of last week. And then it suddenly changed sometime over the weekend. I think Sunday morning is when I started to feel so much better. And so in the meantime, now we've had all of this politics going on. And that is not to be taken lightly, don't get me wrong, because I'm as concerned as you are about all of this information that we keep looking for, let's just say. But in the meantime, I think we need to remember most of all that only cool heads can prevail or should prevail. So today, my theme in general is going to be a little bit of a potpourri. But basically, let's just take a moment out and get some calmness going and relax a little bit. First off, I'm going to read two of my writings. And the first one is called Choices Along the Way. It's a very short one, and it was also written in 2013. And here we go. To find the road to happiness and fulfillment is the eternal quest. This quest is an expedition of inner growth, if one so desires. For it is up to the individual to decide if he will indeed take the challenge at hand. Most people, it seems, prefer to remain imprisoned in their confining life circle. This web of life is deceitful. It appears to hold the satisfaction of life, such as material gains, self-satisfaction, power, and popularity. However, these baubles of life do not fill the need for inner growth and of truth. These superficial satisfactions are temporary along life's path. All of the personal and intellectual wealth in the world will not lead to happiness if the basic ideals in life are not followed. Life seems so complex, yet it is so simple. If we can hold ourselves in the silence and peacefulness within, all else falls away. The more involved that a person becomes in the rigors of the world, the more difficult it is to learn and hold inner peace. Each must allow himself some time with which to become acquainted with his inner being. That was a nice short one, wasn't it? But there's a lot to consider there. Because if we can, I find it more than anything, it's almost like we have one foot in this physical reality and the other foot, if we're doing things halfway correctly, the other part is in the more spiritual reality. And if we can maintain a balance of any sort, that is the key. And this is part of what we need to find out about ourselves right now. The other writing that I have is called Footsteps. And it also was written in 2013. In the darkness before the dawn, I sense movement afoot. Listen, listen hard. Thump, 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 thump. Quiet footsteps. Thump, thump. These steps are silent and seem to connect deeply with Mother Earth to her heart. Each step grounds firmly as if forming a deep taproot to Mother Earth. She receives and gives back the energies in a loving way. Each stride is determined, nearing a goal. And while listening closer, more silent footsteps can be heard. These quiet movements flow in unison, going the same direction. There is no plodding or heaviness. Little sound, only movement. Who's awake now? Where are they going? What is the purpose? Silently they go. I hear them. The night animals are quiet now. Silence. Silence with the melodies of nature abound. Hush. Listen now. What can be heard? What does the rhythm of footsteps reveal? Are they the song of a drum, a heartbeat? I hear my steps. I move now. Others are walking to this new horizon. Silently we tread. We grow and swell with all that is. We are becoming, always becoming. We trust and know that we are in alignment, now binding together in unified agreement. Soon, with daybreak, nature's sounds are heard. Crickets are chirping, waking up the birds who welcome a coming day. It's springtime, the circle of life abounds. Preparing nests for a future family, scurrying of furry friends looking for a morsel. The wheel of life continues with new intent. Springtime offers warmth for one to shed the heavy old cloak. It is time to release the drudgery of a past winter hibernation. Flex those lethargic muscles. Generate the stored energy. Breathe in that fresh spring air. Dawn approaches. The veil of darkness lifts. Soon we distinguish who walks along. We feel each other's presence. Intense align in unison. For so long we have heard only our single pattern of footsteps. Now we stride with single intent, a growing wave. We send out our single note, creating a growing symphony, an aria of love expressing in harmony. With determined steps, we forge a new path. As daybreak comes, our vision alters. Another vital whole world appears before us. Silently, we march undeterred. Some time ago, we shed our backpacks of burdens. With lightened loads, we step lightly but firmly. No need for talking. We are of one mind, moving, moving. We are closer now. We are here. With one more step, we enter into this new world. It awaits us. Have we just woken from a dream? Have we moved anywhere? Did we transition to another paradigm without changing physical places? A beacon of light, that is how I feel, firm, immutable. We stand as a lighthouse for those caught in a storm. Around the world now, we shine brightly for those who press on, looking for a safe docking to weather their storms. There is no hiding of light, no desire or reason to do so. For those who have eyes to see, we are here. We, beacons of light, cast beaming ropes out for those needing a life connection. Here we are. The storms can be turbulent. They lash, impaling some to the sharp crags nearby. Most are seeking, finding safe passage. With guide ropes tethered, they come ashore. Come, come now. Another storm awaits. There is time to revivify, re-energize before the big one hits. Rally your resources, lighten your load, release all to be discarded. Fill yourself up with light and love. Fire up your heart. Soon we shall speak with tongues of fire, cooling down others who do not see and cannot hear. We join and solidify with single intent. Individually, we serve as a node in the fabric being weaved, strengthening it. Some beacons serve as wayshowers, holding the space for those who seek the path. Some beacons attract those who need special respite and healing. All beacons have purpose, unique to themselves. While we beacons discover our unique purpose, we find that each beacon sings with a vibratory note. We join in chorus, forming a single song. We have stepped through the veil of darkness. We experience multiple dimensions. There is no time, only now. We chime our chords in symphony, reverberating this new song of life, always becoming. We release ourselves from the old tethers of time thinking, linear thinking, fear thinking. We beacons of light empower and energize ourselves from within. We generate and co-create. We beacons of light are the way showers to a new era, a new world of dimensions. We earn these positions and stand firmly against the winds of change. We bend with gale winds but will not break. We ground with Mother Earth, sharing a synergy of love. We emanate deeper and richer tones of color and vibration. We are firm yet bending, compassionate and caring yet neutral, unmoving yet agile and fluid. This is our new reality. We experience yet remain an observer. Now is the time for us to search out others who quietly walk this path. It is time for us to unite, to lock arms in silent, dispassionate fervor. We strengthen ourselves. We strengthen each other. We release distrust. We move forward while standing in place. Ah, the dichotomies of this new world. We stretch ourselves up and out, down and within. We are the co-creators of a new world. There's a couple of items that I was thinking of when I was reading this for you. And I'm trying to find it right now. We'll see if I can find it. It doesn't look like I'm going to. Okay. And I hope you found these writings of mine worthwhile. Again, these were written in 2013. There are some things that I may have worded in a different way had I been writing them in more recent times. And I just feel that they were written at a certain time in my life. And I can respect that. I realized I forgot to pull up something, so I'm doing that right now. My show so far seemed to be going in a very common thread or circle. And later on, we'll get more into the circle thing. But several days ago, White Wolf von Ochsingen sent out his newsletter, and it was the first part of it was about trees. And I thought I would read it to you because I've had two shows on trees already, and this was a whole nother perspective of the richness of why trees are important to us and their symbology. And White Wolf says, happy posts Samhain or Halloween, blue moon, and winter nights. And this is in recognition of olden days of Scandinavia. He goes on to say, those of you who recall my articles concerning the energies of the moons might remember that November is the moon of relations. Fitting, always, as it directly follows traditions of thin veils between worlds, respecting, honoring, and communication with those who have crossed to the other side. And among my ancestors and bloodline, the world tree was very powerful in the context of traveling between worlds. The world tree is an integral aspect of all circumpolar belief systems and spirituality, from Scandinavia to Russia to Canada, but also in many North American indigenous peoples. In Norway and Sweden, we find Yggdrasil, the world tree. In Finland, we have the world pillar, but also the world tree among the votes of the Finnish Gulf Coast. They believed in a great oak, much the same as throughout Estonia and the ancient Greek. The votes believed all the unborn souls were held in the leaves of the tree. The Sami, or Samoyeds, and Estonians both have the World Tree and World Pillar. In Northern Asia, there are many old cultures that recognize the World Pillar and one, the Tunga, which embraced the World Tree. In North America, we have the tribes of the Tlingit, Nooksalk, Kalispell, Inuit, Omaha, Creek, Haida, Tahitian, Shimshian, Numic, the Cheyenne, and more, believed in a world pillar, the great pillar of wood that holds up the mighty sky. This can be most clearly seen today in the Northwest coastal tribes in the form of the totem pole. Even childhood mentor Michkalain, and he's speaking of his own mentor there, Michkalain, and his people, the Lenni Lenape, believed in both the world tree and the world pillar. The great pillar holds up the sky roof, and the world tree rises from this world to the other worlds, and can be seen branching outward in a clear celestial sky at night. They erected sacred wood pillars that they carved faces into the tops of, made offering by, and danced around them nude in celebrations of various kinds throughout the year. Pillars were carved, decorated, and erected around and in the sacred houses of the dead also. Connections between worlds. Because, like most pre-technologic cultures, they understood that the dead are not dead and live on. In the Middle East, there are a few instances where cultures believe in a world tree and some in a world pillar, but not many. Most of the cultures that did or do are found in the circumpolar regions, and those who traveled downward from those regions in historical migrations. The circumpolar connections to the world tree and world pillar appear much older in history than that those of the Middle East, even as far back as the Paleolithic times. In almost all of the culture believing in the world tree or world pillar, the sacred medicine workers use the tree or the pillar as traveling paths into other worlds. Many of those listed cultures held beliefs that the tree or pillar grew through worlds above, worlds below, worlds to the side of this one, and so their medicine people would use them as climbing bridges to access various levels of worlds. In some cultures, the worlds were out upon the branches and roots, while in others, the worlds were stacked upon each other as upon a pillar. A very common number of levels exists between many of the cultural world tree pillars as 9. People would give offerings and or sacrifices in the number of whichever world they were attempting to access. Select elements would also be used, fire, water, breath or air, and earth. Alignment of body energies was also employed, strength, sexual, masculine, feminine, young, old, hunger, tiredness, herb-induced, birth, transformation, and so on. The tree, of course, is alive, and so typically modern people can understand their importance as a spiritual focus more so than a pillar of wood or a dead tree. Like I said above, most pre-technologic cultures, as I do also, understand that the dead are not dead and live on. Since these cultures believe that all things have their own individual soul and spirit, and they understood this is not the only level of existence, they embraced a reality in which there was no such thing as death, as in the modern understanding. For example, take a dried leaf of lemon balm being used long after the plant has shriveled away to dust. The whole plant is no longer, but the spirit of the plant remains living. Therefore, in medicinal use, the spirit of the lemon balm plant is summoned when utilizing those dried leaves, because in essence, that plant spirit remains alive. The use of the pillar is the same. The pillar comes from a tree, and that tree spirit remains alive and within existence. Therefore, the life or spirit and soul of the tree lives on through the pillar, and the people interact with that life. But of course, not any old tree was selected for the world pillar symbol. Only the ones with the most potent spirits would be utilized, and the greatest care and ceremony was employed during not only the selection, but also the harvest and preparation, not to mention ongoing ceremonial use. All the while, people understood their intricate, sacred, and powerful connections to the elements of life. There was no conscious illusion of disconnection like there is in so many today. They lived on the earth, and so the earth fed them every moment. I found that to be very interesting. And in a very funny way, when he started talking about the dried leaf, I certainly thought about Archie, of the stories that I wrote about Archie, the leaf that my traveling leaf. And that really struck me just correlating so well with old traditions. So I think that was a very good research. And also the circles and so on. And after the break, I'm going to something was very much nudging me today to read from the Seven Arrows. And the author of this book is, I will only say his first name once, and you'll understand why. It's Jaime Hosts, Storm. Storm is his last name. And this book was published in 1972. And if you ever come across this book or have a curiosity, do so. Get it. It is well worth it. And I'm hearing our music, and I'll catch up with you at the other side.
People's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio of FreedomSlips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
Hello, Karl Marx here. Look at my wonderful hair. Notice how I sweep it back.
Karl?
I call it the 360 sweep. Beard, sideburns, and the magnificent coif.
Karl!
What? What is this?
You're on the radio. They can't see you.
Oh, yeah. I get confused.
Want to learn more about the Marxist agenda and other important stuff? Listen to The Ultimate Remedy with L.B. Bork, Tuesdays, 6 p.m. Eastern, right here on Revolution Radio.
Hello, all you good-looking people out there in Revolution Radio. This is Mario. I invite you to join me Thursdays at 6 o'clock for This, That, and the Other. It's a show about you, it's a show about me, but ultimately it's a show where we try to have a little bit of fun. We discuss some quirky topics, and we do our best to be apolitical. So I invite you, put on your favorite pair of comfy sweats, your smoking jacket, and grab a beverage of your choice, and join me Thursday evenings at 6 o'clock for This, That, and the Other on Revolution Radio.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
And welcome back again to Conversations with Eagle Flower. As you know, we do enjoy having your company and your information. And you can always join us through freedomslips.com. And come and join us here in chat. We have a lot of fun. The best way that you can support us is pretty well written out on the front page of our website. And you can become a regular patron member and or do one-time donations. You can do preferred money order or check addressed to Revolution Radio, addressed to Terry Ackerman. And her detailed P.O. box and so on is at the bottom end of the page, whether it's your first or chat page, it's at the very bottom. And we want to remind everyone that archives are open, and if you're too busy to listen today, just come back on over and join us in archives. The details of how to get in are at the cover page. And join us. Take how can I say? We want to have as many donations as we can. Right now is a difficult time for many, but for those who have inability, we would appreciate more financial support because we don't know what's coming up in the future, frankly. And it would be nice if you could send a little extra in the next month or so. It would be very nice for everybody. Michael Margolis says, "The stories we tell literally make the world. If you want to change the world, you need to change your story. This truth applies both to individuals and institutions." And it just so happens he's a CEO of and educator as well as an anthropologist. So he's had some various directions to analyze stories. As I said earlier, I was going to start reading The Seven Arrows. And as I was starting to say, this particular book, even if you never read it, just to page through it, has so many photos that are, well, just the photos alone. And then interspersed are slick pages of traditional shields that were painted. And they're just beautiful, absolutely beautiful. So again, even if you never read a single word in here, the photos, the copies of the shields and so on are extremely exquisite. Many of the photos that are in here were taken, I would say, in the 1800s. And he was able to get copies of them for this book through a particular museum. I think it was in Canada. And so I enjoy going through this book quite often. And let me find my first page here. The first page is called The Pipe. And let us begin. You are about to begin an adventure of the people, the Plains Indian people. You probably have known of these people only by their white man names, such as the Cheyenne, the Crow, and the Sioux. Here you will learn to know of them as they were truly known among the people, as the Painted Arrow, the Little Black Eagle, and the Brother people. The story of these people has at its center and all around it the story of the medicine wheel. The medicine wheel is the very way of life of the people. It is an understanding of the universe. It is the way given to the peace chiefs, our teachers, and by them to us. The medicine wheel is everything of the people. The medicine wheel is the living flame of the lodges and the great shield of truth, written in the sign of the water. It is the heart and mind. It is the song of the earth. It is the starfire and the painted drum, seen only in the eyes of children. It is the red pipe of the buffalo gift, smoked in the sacred mountains. And it is the four arrows of the people's lodge. It is our sundance. The medicine wheel way begins with the touching of our brothers and sisters. Next, it speaks to us of the touching of the world around us, the animals, trees, grasses, and all other living things. Finally, it teaches us to sing the song of the world, and in this way to become whole people. Come sit with me and let us smoke the pipe of peace, in understanding. Let us touch. Let us, each to the other, be a gift, as is the buffalo. Let us be meat to nourish each other, that we all may grow. Sit here with me, each of you, as you are in your own perceiving of yourself, as mouse, wolf, coyote, weasel, fox, or prairie bird. Let me see through your eyes. Let us teach each other here in this great lodge of the people, this sundance of each of the ways on this great medicine wheel, our earth. The Circle. Dear reader, if you and I were sitting in a circle of people on the prairie, and if I were then to place a painted drum or an eagle feather in the middle of this circle, each of us would perceive these objects differently. Our vision of them would vary according to our individual positions in the circle, each of which would be unique. Our personal perceptions of these objects would also depend upon much more than just the different positions from which we looked upon them. For example, one or more of us might suffer from color blindness or from weak eyesight. Either of these two physical differences would influence our perceptions of the objects. There are levels upon levels of perspectives we must consider when we try to understand our individual perceptions of things or when we try to relate our own perceptions to those of our brothers and sisters. Every single one of our previous experiences in life will affect in some way the mental perspective from which we see the world around us. Because of this, a particular object or event may appear fearful to you at the same time that it gives pleasure to me, or appears completely uninteresting to a third person. All things that we perceive stimulate our individual imaginations in different ways, which in turn causes us to create our own unique interpretations of them. Love, hate, fear, confusion, happiness, envy, and all the other emotions we feel act upon us to paint our perceptions of things in different colors. If the thing I were to place within our circle should be an abstraction, such as an idea, a feeling, or a philosophy, our perceptions of it would then be even more complicated than if the object had been a tangible thing. And further, the number of different perceptions of it would become greater and greater as more and more people were added to our circle. The perception of any object, either tangible or abstract, is ultimately made 1,000 times more complicated whenever it is viewed within the circle of an entire people as a whole. The understanding of this truth is the first lesson of the medicine wheel, and it is a vital part of Sundance teaching. The medicine wheel. In many ways, this circle, the medicine wheel, can best be understood if you think of it as a mirror in which everything is reflected. The universe is the mirror of the people. The old teachers tell us, and each person is a mirror to every other person. Any idea, person, or object can be a medicine wheel, a mirror for man. The tiniest flower can be such a mirror, as can a wolf, a story, a touch, a religion, or a mountaintop. For example, one person alone on a mountaintop at night might feel fear. Another might feel calm and peaceful. Still another might feel lonely, and a fourth person might feel nothing at all. In each case, the mountaintop would be the same, but it would be perceived differently as it reflected the feelings of the different people who experienced it. This book, Seven Arrows, is such a mirror. It is a medicine wheel, just as you are. And then he goes to explain a little drawing here, which is essentially a north-south, east-west dotting. And then the outer circle has larger dots around connecting and making it into a full circle. As he's speaking of the medicine wheel and saying, here is a drawing of a simple medicine wheel. Among the people, the teachers usually constructed it from small stones or pebbles, which they would place like this before them upon the ground. Each one of these tiny stones within the medicine wheel represents one of the many things of the universe. Now, he's referring to the tiny stones are the north, south, east, west, and in the center are also some a small circle of small stones there. One of them represents you. Another represents me. Others hold within them our mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, and our friends. Still others symbolize hawks, buffalo, elks, wolves. There are also stones which represent religions, governments, philosophies, and even entire nations. All things are contained within the medicine wheel, and all things are equal within it. The medicine wheel is the total universe. Our teachers tell us that all things within this universe wheel know of their harmony with every other thing and know how to give away one to the other, except man. Of all the universe's creatures, it is we alone who do not begin our lives with knowledge of this great harmony. Well, that's a mouthful right there, isn't it? Let's go on with what he's talking about here. All the things of the universe wheel have spirit and life, including the rivers, rocks, earth, sky, plants, and animals. But it is only man of all the beings on the wheel who is a determiner. Our determining spirit can be made whole only through the learning of our harmony with all our brothers and sisters, and with all the other spirits of the universe. To do this, we must learn to seek and to perceive. We must do this to find our place within the medicine wheel, to determine this place, we must learn to give away. The vision quest or perceiving quest is the way we must begin this search. We must all follow our vision quest to discover ourselves, to learn how we perceive of ourselves, and to find our relationship with the world around us. The powers. Among the people, a child's first teaching is of the four great powers of the medicine wheel. To the north, on the medicine wheel, is found wisdom. The color of the wisdom of the north is white, and its medicine animal is the buffalo. The south is represented by the sign of the mouse, and its medicine color is green. The south is the place of innocence and trust, and for perceiving closely our nature of heart. In the west is the sign of the bear. The west is the looks within place, which speaks of the introspective nature of man. The color of this place is black. The east is marked by the sign of the eagle. It is the place of illumination, where we can see things clearly, far, and wide. Its color is the gold of the morning star. At birth, each of us is given a particular beginning place within these four great directions on the medicine wheel. This starting place gives us our first way of perceiving things, which will then be our easiest and most natural way throughout our lives. But any person who perceives from only one of these four great directions will remain just a partial man. For example, a man who possesses only the gift of the north will be wise, but he will be a cold man, a man without feeling, and the man who lives only in the east will have the clear, far-sighted vision of the eagle, but will never be close to things. This man will feel separated, high above life, and will never understand or believe that he can be touched by anything. A man or woman who perceives only from the west will go over the same thought again and again and again in their mind, and will always be undecided. And if a person has only the gift of the south, he will see everything with the eyes of a mouse. He will be too close to the ground and too nearsighted to see anything except whatever is right in front of him, touching his whiskers. There are many people who have two or three of these gifts, but these people still are not whole. A man might be a bear person from the east or an eagle person of the south. The first of these men would have the gift of seeing introspectively within illumination, but he would lack the gifts of touching and wisdom. The second would be able to see clearly and far like the eagle, within trust and innocence, but would still not know of the things of the north, nor of the looks within place. In this same way, a person might also be a golden bear of the north or a black eagle of the south, but none of these people would yet be whole. After each of us has learned of our beginning gift, our first place on the medicine wheel, we then must grow by seeking understanding in each of the four great ways. Only in this way can we become full, capable of balance and decision in what we do. Seven Arrows speaks of this growing and seeking. The touching. To touch and feel is to experience. Many people live out their entire lives without ever really touching or being touched by anything. These people live within a world of mind and imagination that may move them sometimes to joy, tears, happiness, or sorrow, but these people never really touch. They do not live and become one with life. The Sun Dancer believes that each person is a unique living medicine wheel, powerful beyond imagination, that has been limited and placed upon this earth to touch experience, and learn. The six grandfathers taught me that each man, woman, and child at one time was a living power that existed somewhere in time and space. These powers were without form, but they were aware. They were alive. Each power possessed boundless energy and beauty. These living medicine wheels were capable of nearly anything. They were beautiful and perfect in all ways except one. They had no understanding of limitation, no experience of substance. These beings were total energy of the mind without body or heart. They were placed upon this earth that they might learn the things of the heart through touching. According to the teachers, there is only one thing that all people possess equally. This is their loneliness. No two people on the face of this earth are alike in any one thing except for their loneliness. This is the cause of our growing, but it is also the cause of our wars. Love, hate, greed, and generosity are all rooted within our loneliness, within our desire to be needed and loved. The only way that we can overcome our loneliness is through touching. It is only in this way that we can learn to be total beings. God is a presence of this total. Himavihyo, the breath of wisdom, and Miahayun, total understanding, are but two of the words in the Cheyenne language which express this wholeness. Let's see how long this next category is. I hope you're enjoying this writing, and it gets very interesting further down because, as was already stated, he's going to be talking about the mice, and there's a whole... It's almost, when we get further into the book, it's like being around a campfire, and you're hearing these stories that obviously are very symbolic. And as I had mentioned earlier, the importance of stories, because they can be... so metaphorical, and the context of the meaning addresses each person individually in a different way. And sometimes it takes years before you hear the same words again, and all of a sudden a whole new message pops out that you never heard before. And I think that is why I have always enjoyed certain readings, certain books. Because the message is always different for the day, isn't it? And I wanted to do a brief quote here from Khalil Gibran. It's from a book of Secrets of the Heart. The water disappears and ascends until it turns into clouds that gather upon the hills and valleys. And when it meets the breeze, it falls down upon the fields and joins the brook that sings its way towards the sea. The life of clouds is a life of farewell and a life of reunion, tears and laughter. Thus the spirit separates itself from the body and walks into the world of substance, passing like clouds over the valleys of sorrow and mountains of happiness, until it meets the breeze of death and returns to its starting place, the endless ocean of love and beauty, which is God. Some men would see the world with the eyes of God and would grasp the secrets of the hereafter by means of human thought. But go instead into the field and see how the bee hovers over the sweet flowers and the eagle swoops down on its prey. Go into your neighbor's house and see the infant child bewitched by the firelight while the mother is busied at her tasks. Be like the bee and do not waste your spring days gazing on the doings of the eagle. Be like the child rejoicing at the firelight and let the mother abide. All that you see was and still is yours. March on, do not tarry. To go forward is to move toward perfection. March on, and fear not the thorns or the sharp stones on life's path. Interesting messages in these writings. And I want to thank everybody once again for spending time with Conversations with Eagle Flower. We've got a couple more minutes here. And I wanted to go through some of the... the Zazzle store. Go ahead and check it out. There's always something interesting in there. And I know I saw somewhere some sort of a question mark if anybody wanted to start to participate in presenting things in Zazzle. I think that would be something that we need to find out from management. I'm not sure who was asking that. I just don't remember. I hope this hour has been somewhat relaxing for you. Certainly an intention of mine is we've got to just stay composed. And the main thing is we just really need to keep our heads cool above all else. That's what we need to do. And thank you all for attending and listening. So I'm looking here for something that I was going to do. I know that we do the Facebook. For those of you who are listed in Facebook, it's facebook.com/freedomslips. We're on Twitter, but that I think we're in the doghouse on Twitter right now. we're threatening too many truths. Oh wow, there's the music already. Well, I'll see you again next week, and let me know how you like hearing this book, The Seven Arrows. To me, it's quite interesting, and it'll get more interesting if I continue with it. Thank you again for joining Conversations with Eagle Flower. Bye now.
Listening to Revolution.